Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, exchanged time for eternity in the year of our Lord 2014. Mrs. Yantje Jenny van Heerden, on April 25th, at the age of 82 years. Mrs. Sonamika Westrate, on September the 28th, at the age of 55 years. Mrs. Janice van Sluis, on December the 23rd, at the age of 89 years. Let us sing from Psalter 422, the eighth stanza. Lord, remember, how frail I am, how few my years. My life is like a cloud that comes and disappears. Has man then lived in vain, who can in death's dark hour escape the dismal grave with all its ruinous power? O Lord, recall thy love, thy words to David spoken. Sustain us as of yore by covenant oaths unbroken. Afterwards will be read to you the word of God, which you can find in Romans chapter 8, in the first 28 verses, 422, stanza 8.
we wish to you to read to you of Romans chapter 8. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead also quickened your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also together, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who had subjected the same in hope, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why does he yet hope for? But if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty God, who dwellest between the cherubims in that high and holy place, where all do bow before thee, and where the redeemed do also cast the crowns before thee, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, thou givest us here still a place upon the world, and that we may continue in it. Thou givest us still a little time. Thou bringest us into a new year, and it is that which points unto us unto thy great goodness, thy great long suffering. Wilt thou open our eyes to see a little bit of it in this morning hour, and that our hearts may be broken, and that our spirits may be made contrite. For when we may see the smallest part of our sin over against all thy great goodness, and then we will be humbled before thee. We beseech it of thee in this day, and may it be also in the year that lies before us. O Lord, thou knowest what lies before us, from us that it is hidden. Therefore it belongs unto the secret things of thee. And we know not what a day may bring forth, neither do we know the day or the manner of our death. O, we ask of thee also that thou wilt go with us in the time that is to come. For we have heard out of thy word that to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded, that is life and peace. But thou knowest the heart of each one of us, and how carnally minded that we are. Oh, then we need that new life. We need thy Spirit within us, that we may be spiritually minded, and that our treasure may be daily above, and that our heart may be there also. Oh, wilt thou keep us in this new year from seeking those things which will not profit us. For what does it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? O, thou knowest that we are seekers of the world. O, then we stand in need of provision. But thou hast the cattle upon a thousand hills, and thou art able to provide. And wherefore thou sayest, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Oh, then we can hear it with our ears, and we can acknowledge the truth of it. But our hearts, they go back again to the daily practice of our carnality, of our vanity. And soon we will experience how empty that it is, when it shall all fall through our fingers in the day when we have to leave this life. then we shall leave it all behind. Naked came we into this world, and naked shall we depart thither. O Lord, remember us then, and show to us where that true treasure is, and that we may be given to make that blessed choice of thy servant Moses, who chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God, than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Oh, that thou may remember in a special way all those that are afflicted, those that do mourn, and then the names they have been read off unto us, those whom we have left behind in the year that is behind us. O Lord, thou knowest all the sorrows. Thou knowest all the missing. Then it can be that they have to go on, but they do not know how to go on. Oh, that thou may remember them, and that they may feel also in this year to come that underneath are thine everlasting arms, those that are afflicted and sick. And then there are many that have serious diseases also within our own community, those that are relatives also of some of us. Oh, thou knowest each of them also, that thou may remember them now in this year that is to come. O Lord, in all things, they do go to the grave. We are dying creatures. O teach us then to die before that we have to die. Wilt thou prosper us if it could please thee in all the labors of our hands in this year, the fathers, that they may be able to sustain their households, and also the many needs within the community, the denomination, the churches, and to be able to give something to the poor, that thou may bless the labors of our hands, children also may receive thy blessing in the year to come, in the studies in school, in university, in the labors of their hands in the midst of this world, and wherever they are called in this life to labor, that they also may need thee in everything, that they could not take a step without thee, especially those decisions which have such far-reaching consequences and are made often so in our youth. O Lord, that they may be given a place at thy footstool to seek thy blessing and to seek to know thy way, and that thou wouldst have them to walk, and that thou may remember the mothers in the households. O wilt thou uphold them and give them strength from day to day, and when it is often for them so busy. O Lord, thou knowest also all the distractions that Satan does bring among us in this day, so that there is no more a life of simplicity, so that everything that has become filled with world. Oh, that we may be given in this year to come that wisdom and that grace that is necessary to make those distinctions and those separations that are so necessary as we are going through this world, that we may be a separate people, and that there may be felt in our hearts, each and every one, and that there is one thing that is needful, and that we may be given by grace to choose that part, and that shall never be taken away from us. Wilt thou look upon all thy servants, grant more into thy vineyard, and the students, the teachers, all those that may bring thy word over the face of this earth, increase their number, if it could please thee in the year to come, that thou may give more students into our theological school, if it could please thee. Oh, raise thou up men who may be truly converted, called, and sent forth by thee, that the pulpits also may be filled. Remember the empty pulpits also, the consistories, all those that do labor in thy kingdom. And may thy kingdom come, thy will be done. May many be brought forth out of nature's darkness into thy marvelous light in this year that is to come, and that our labors also may be blessed here in this our own congregation. Lord, thou hast given that the farmers, they may see the fruit upon their hands, and also the others in the labors of the trades in this world. Oh, then they may be given to behold from time to time what the fruit of their labor is. O Lord, we ask of thee, if it could please thee in this coming year, and that there also may be fruit to be seen upon the labors here, even in the midst of our own flock, and that we also may be gladdened with thy deeds, and that thou may glorify thy own worthy and great name, and that thou may give that the word which is brought in the way of preaching and of reading, and that it may not return void unto thee, that it may not be but a savor of death unto death, but that it may be a savor of life, unto young and old. Oh, remember those that have become old, and that are in the nursing homes, that are cared for by others. And wilt thou watch over them, and wilt thou grant them, and when they do feel the end of life creeping upon them, and that they have one foot already in the grave, oh, that they may experience that the Lord yet liveth, and that those wonders that they have heard all their life long may be experienced yet in the end of their life. Oh, that thou may look upon us all together, all the needs, the cares, and the wants, all known unto thee. Look on us this morning. And we are called once more to bring thy word of truth. Oh, we ask of thee a little opening. We ask of thee a little liberty. We ask of thee thy blessing. And that thy word may have a place to fall. And that there may be ground plowed up by thee. And that thou may give us all together instruction and the forgiveness of all our sins. For Jesus' sake, amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 166, stanzas 1 through 4. Praise waits in Zion, Lord, for thee, and unto thee shall vows be paid. O thou that hearest those who cry to thee, by all shall prayer be made. 1 through 4 of Psalter 166. beloved congregation, the Lord has brought us to the beginning of a new year. And on the behalf of your consistory, then we would like to wish each one of you the Lord's richest blessings in this year and that is now come upon us. What this year will bring, whether that is adversity or prosperity, that we do not know, that is from us hidden. What are our hopes for this new year? Do we have hopes for our business, perhaps, that is lawful? And we have hopes, maybe, and that we may get married in this year, or other hopes for our family. Is there also, maybe, in the heart of some a desire in this morning that they say, "Oh Lord, couldn't it now be a year where I may be converted to Thee, and that I may receive that new life that never dies?" Are there any that hope to die in this year? Say, hope to die. Are there people that hope to die, that wish to die? And we think about a prisoner, and then he is waiting in that prison for the day of his release. Paul, he had a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which he said was far better. And thus he was willing rather to be absent from the body, that is, his soul would be absent from his body, to lay that body in the grave, and that his soul may be with the Lord. Then it's understandable something has to happen in our life, because we are not so born, and that is not in our nature. But Simeon, he said, "Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace." Why? He said, "For mine eyes have seen thy salvation." What is that salvation, boys and girls? Salvation, that is, to be delivered from sin. His eyes saw that. And do you know what he desired when his eyes saw that? Then his eyes saw it, and his heart that desired that he may now receive the complete deliverance, that he may be forever and forever delivered from sin. Paul, he says, "Who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" What is death for that church? That is the beginning of life. The beginning of life eternal. Oh, that the Lord would teach us that we would not only have to die, but that we also may come to that place in our life that we may desire to die. We wish with the Lord's help to consider something of this with you in this morning hour, out of the words of our text. One more time, from Joshua chapter 20. Joshua chapter 20. And then the last part of the sixth verse. We'll read the whole verse. Joshua 20, verse 6, the last part. "And he shall dwell in that city until he stand before the congregation for judgment, and until the death of the high priest that shall be in those days. Then shall the slayer return and come unto his own city and unto his own house, unto the city from whence he fled. So far, and the words of our text. The manslayer's homecoming. First, the basis of this homecoming until the death of the high priest that shall be in those days. Second, the significance of that homecoming. Then shall the slayer return and come unto his own city and unto his own house, unto the city from whence he fled. Thus, the manslayer's homecoming, first the basis, second the significance of this homecoming. Thus, we have heard of the redemption of the church through judgment, and that manslayer, he is brought before that judge, and that willful manslayer was slain, and that non-willful manslayer, he is returned unto the city of his refuge. There he must remain within that city and not leave that city. There we have heard that he may dwell without fear. That is because that judge has now spoken, and he may know from the Lord that he has a right unto that city, and that he may dwell in that city, so that there is no more fear of that revenger of blood. Thus we said that the state of that people that is now made sure unto them. And yet, congregation, that is not all. There is more. Why? Because it is not yet the full deliverance. There is, we can read here one more thing. There is more that that man has to experience. You say, is there any lacking? Anything lacking for that man? Is that man now in any kind of a danger? Does he not have rest? Does he not have peace? Does he not experience safety within that city? Yes, that is true. But now it does not have any longer to do with safety, but it has to do with something else. It has to do with freedom. Because there is yet for that man a certain limitation that he must remain in that city and that he is not permitted to go unto his own home. Thus, those Israelites, they have received each one a possession. Where did that come from? That came from the Lord. The Lord gave to each of the Israelites a portion that was from himself. And they were given that portion to enjoy. And now that manslayer, by his transgression, he has forfeited that enjoyment of that portion. He has lost that enjoyment. He had to leave that behind him. He had to flee. He had to leave everything. But it is now possible, we read, that that man would again come to his own home. That is, that man would again receive everything that he had originally received from the Lord, and that he would receive again his full freedom. How is that possible? Was that man able then to give a ransom? If he was a rich man, then we say, well, then that man, he could make a certain payment, that he could buy his freedom. And we see that this was forbidden him from the Lord. And ye shall take no satisfaction for him that is fled to the city of his refuge, that he should come again to dwell in the land. Thus, they were not allowed to take a payment from that manslayer in order that he may now return to his own property. But we see that there is but one way, and the revenger of blood find him without the borders of the city of refuge, and the revenger of blood kill the slayer. He shall not be guilty of blood, because he should have remained in the city of his refuge until the death of the high priest. But after the death of the high priest, the slayer shall return into the land of his possession. So these things shall be for a statute of judgment unto you throughout your generations in all your dwellings. And so we read also here in our own text, until the death of the high priest that shall be in those days, then shall the slayer return and come into his own city and unto his own house and unto the city from whence he fled. Thus, that death of the high priest, that was for that was that which is setting that manslayer free. We know that there was also a jubilee, children, every seventh year. Then that land that had to remain free from toil. And we know that every seven times 7 years, thus every 49, and actually the 50th year, every 50th year, then the trumpets were blown. That was the year of Jubilee. And then those who had sold their property, their possessions, because they were poor, they would receive back again their possession, that possession would remain with that people to whom that the Lord had given it. Thus, that year of Jubilee was to that debtor that he would receive his property back again. And now we read that this death of the high priest, that is to that manslayer, that he would receive his property, that he would receive his liberty back again. How is it that the death of the high priest was that which secured that manslayer his freedom? Well, it is enough that it was the institution of the Lord, that the Lord said, and that this is the way that it had to be. But there is also a great symbolism in it. The death of the high priest was, of course, a great public loss, and there was a public mourning, and that was a mourning that actually should have swallowed up all private revenge. But especially, we see that the high priest was a representative of the people. That high priest was one who was consecrated to that office by the Lord himself. And we read especially of this consecration in connection with the death of the high priest. Because we read, and the congregation shall deliver the slayer out of the hand of the revenger of blood, and the congregation shall restore him to the city of his refuge, whither he was fled, and he shall abide in it unto the death of the high priest, which was anointed with the holy oil. Thus, especially when that death of the high priest is spoken of, then we see that the Lord is mentioning that this high priest, he has been anointed with this holy oil. Thus, what does that mean? That holy oil was a symbol of the communication of the Holy Ghost. In order that man, because he was but a man as all others, but now that man in that anointing, he was empowered to act as a representative of all that people before the Lord. Thus, Aaron was also a representation. He was a type of that eternal priesthood. How was Aaron a type of that eternal priesthood? Because Aaron was but a man, Aaron would have to die at the end of his life. But we see that Aaron, he is taken to Mount Hor before that he died. Those robes are taken off of him, and those robes are placed upon Eleazar, his son. Thus, even though Aaron must die as an individual man, then when the children of Israel, they see his son Eleazar descending from that mount, then they see something of the continuation of the priesthood of the Lord, so that they were in that way a type, a representation of the continuation of that priesthood, of the eternity of that priesthood, thus a type, a representation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thus we see the life and the work of that priesthood that is a representation. Why? That is because of the anointing. Now we see that also the death, not only the life and the work of that high priest, but also the death of that high priest, that is a representation, that is as the death that is securing unto that manslayer his release. We know in the Day of Atonement that there was a sacrifice. In the Day of Atonement, then that blood was brought into the Holy of Holies, and there was an expiation for sin. The death of the high priest, that was actually had the same signification as what was happening on the Day of Atonement, because it was not just an individual who was dying, but there was a man who was anointed to an office, who was anointed with that holy oil. Thus we have in the death a representation of the rigor of that law of God, the fulfillment also of that law of God. That is not only a representation of justice, but we have in that death a representation of mercy. Why? Because that death that is atoning for that manslayer, that was necessary. Why was it necessary? Well, what had the Lord said concerning the murderer? He said, "Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed." Thus, when that a man is dying, when that blood is shed, then automatically there comes a necessity that the blood of man, he is shed for that death. So, when that high priest is dying, then we see him dying in order to fulfill that requirement of the law of the Lord. So we see in the death of that high priest that mercy and truth are met together. That righteousness and peace, they have now kissed each other. Because that death, that is now an atonement. That blood of that slain man is now finally expiated. And therefore that man, he becomes free. That man, he may now return to his home and he may receive all his possessions again. That is, of course, for that literal manslayer. How is that now in a spiritual way? Well, in the Old Testament high priest, he is that faint shadow and type of Christ as that high priest of his children. That is, that high priest after the order of Melchizedek. We can read, Paul writes to the Hebrews of the high priesthood in the Old Testament, and then he writes how that Christ, he is now received by the church of the Lord as that better high priest. For that work, he has now been anointed with that holy oil. That is, that he has been appointed by his Father, and that he has been enabled by his Father, provided everything to be able to finish that high priestly work. And his death, that is now sufficient to stop the mouth of the law. Why? Because that death, that is an atonement. Because that death is actually a fulfillment of that law. Thus Christ, he is not only the minister of justice therein, but he is also the minister of mercy in that same office, in that high priestly office. Because in the Old Testament, both the avenger of blood and that near kinsman were actually the same person. That was that man that was near of kin to that slain man who was appointed to avenge the blood of that slain man. That would be his near relation. Thus, the Lord, in his incarnation, then he has come to become that near relation of his church. Then he has come to be that closest relative, that he may be also that avenger of blood, that he may be to them that minister of justice and also that minister of mercy at the same time. There will come a time when that office of that near kinsman and that avenger of blood, that will come to an end. Paul says, then cometh the end when he shall deliver up the kingdom unto God, even to his Father, then all rule and power and authority shall be put down. That shall be put under his feet. And when that is put under his feet, then all of the enemies, they are put away. Then there is no enemy anymore, and that church, they are completely free from all their enemies. And so we see in our second thought the significance of this homecoming. Let us sing first 232, 1, 2, and 3. O Lord, to us thy mercy show, and thy salvation now bestow. We wait to hear what God will say. Peace to his people he will speak, and to his saints. But let them seek no more in folly's path to stray. All stanzas of Psalter 232.
Thank you.
congregation, what is that step of the exaltation of Christ that followed his resurrection? Our children will know the answer, because the resurrection of Christ, that was the first step of his exaltation. And the next step of his exaltation was, that was his ascension into heaven. In the resurrection of Christ, the church has received her justification. Because Paul says that he was raised again for our justification. What happened in the ascension of Christ? There, the Lord Jesus has taken that human nature which he took upon himself in his incarnation, our flesh, and he brought that flesh into the presence of his Father. Thus, the ascension of Christ, that is to bring that church back into the heart of the Father. What is necessary for the church of God here on earth to be returned unto the heart of the Father? Two things. One is that they need to receive a right to come there. They receive that right in what? They receive that right in their justification. Then they need a second thing, and that is that they need to be made fit to come there. And what is necessary to be made fit, that is their sanctification. We heard something about that justification last evening. That is happening in the court that is taking place by the speaking of the judge in the complete forgiveness of the sin of the people. What is now left for them? Years ago, my friend and I were speaking to an old man. Was an elder, and he told us a little story about the time years before he had to take Reverend LeMaine when he had come to New Jersey. He had to take him back to the airport, and while he brought him back, then he was telling him something out of his own life to Reverend LeMaine. And he may tell him of that experience of his own life wherein he has received the forgiveness of his sins. That is that justification. And when he came to that airport, then he said, Reverend Lamine, before he got out of that vehicle, he said to him, and now for sanctification. And he said to us, I didn't know what he meant, but now I do. And he began to cry. Why was he crying? That is because of a body of sin and death. That is because that sanctification that is never complete to the grief of that people as long as they are remaining here upon the earth. Thus, there is a people, they may know that they have a right to heaven, but every day they have to experience that they are not fit for heaven. How now can they receive any hope of that fitness? They cannot receive that in the practice of their life. Why not? Because they do less sin, but they become a greater sinner. Thus, there is only one way for that people to receive that hope of that complete sanctification. And what is that? That is in that high priestly work of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is only that they may receive it by faith. That is only coming to them that comfort in that death of that high priest. It is only by the application of that blood. Thus Paul, he says, he is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. What other knowledge is able now to assure that church that they are indeed going to receive that promised possession as long as this body of sin and death remains? Paul, he says, in whom after that ye have believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which he says is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. What is now the redemption of the purchased possession? That is, when that possession that is purchased by Christ is fully redeemed, that is in the death of the people. And he says, he speaks now of an earnest of that inheritance until that time that they may depart out of this life and they may receive it in glory. An earnest of it. What is an earnest? Well, in earnest, that is a pledge. Then you get something of it already in order that you may, by seeing that something of it and that you have received something of it, that you may be assured that the Lord, He is going to follow up, and that the Lord, He is going to give unto you also the rest. Thus, there is a people that may be given to know something, not only about that justification, but also something of that reconciliation with the Father, that is by that sealing work of that Holy Spirit. And in that reconciliation, there is for that people a great freedom. Why? Because there is freedom in the sonship. Justification that has to do with the judge. We heard that. But the adoption and the reconciliation that is not to a judge. No, it is a reconciliation. It is an adoption unto the Father. Thus we read that Paul says, you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received that spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit beareth witness with our spirit, he says, that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we also may be glorified together. What is the difference between a servant and a son? There is a different relation. That son, he is adopted. That servant, he can be sent away. But not that son. Because in that adoption, then there is a lasting relationship. There is also a difference in the freedom. Because that son, he may go in and out. There is a difference in the access because that son, he has access unto his Father. And finally, there is a difference in our children, they will tell me. You say there is a difference between that servant and that son in the inheritance. Because that son, he now inherits everything. Paul, he says, all things are yours. That is, the world is yours. Life, death, things present, things to come. And he says, all things are yours. And you are Christ's, and Christ is God's. Thus, what does he say? He says, Christ also is yours. And when Christ is yours, then he says, God is yours. O congregation, there we have it. Do we not? Is that not now the lost possession? Is that not whom we have been sent away from? And thus now that manslayer, he has forfeited everything, but now he may receive all those possessions back again. Thus a people, they may be brought back by the death of that high priest to receive what they have lost in paradise. For them, that reconciliation is complete. There is nothing more missing. No, it is not complete in the reality of it, because they are waiting for that redemption of the body. But it is complete by faith. We read it. Paul, he says, groaning within ourselves. What are that people doing? They are waiting. Waiting for the redemption of the body, groaning within themselves. Even the animals, the beasts, they are waiting. Because we heard that too, that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Why? Because even the beast, the creature itself, shall be delivered, it says, from the bondage of corruption, and shall be brought into the glorious liberty of the children of God. They are waiting, those animals. They are waiting for the release from the consequences, not of their sin, but of our sin. And for that time, when all will be purified, and there will be a new heavens and a new earth. Congregation, liberty, freedom. That is what the world seeks after. Liberty, freedom. Is that the true freedom? They seek to be free from God. The world seeks freedom from His laws, from His commandments, from His statutes, freedom from His will, that we do not have to subject ourselves. What is now the true freedom? Oh, that true freedom is when a man may be brought back again into that Father heart of God. Would that not be a wonder? If we could be brought back, young people, think about it. If we could be brought back to that state before we fell, would that not be a wonder? It doesn't happen. No, it will not happen anymore. But the Lord, He has a higher privilege, a higher blessing in store for His people. Why? Because there, then He was a creature of God. But what is now that possession that the Lord is giving unto His people? He does not bring them back as a mere creature anymore. Nobody brings them back as His sons. He brings them back as His daughters. John says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." The sons of God. Is that not something to seek after in this year? Each one, young and old. But then He continues, and He says, "Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew not Him." Thus, we cannot expect to be seeking to be the sons of God if we are seeking after the world. Because then He says there must come a choice, that we either serve God or we serve mammon. Oh, that the Lord would give us such a choice this day. We have come, congregation, to the end. Oh, we have begun with where? immensely. And look now. Look now what that manslayer may receive. Oh, ask the Lord to make you that manslayer. That is now the beginning. The beginning. Do not skip the beginning. Because when we skip the beginning, we miss the end. But if the beginning may now be right in our life, oh, then that end, that will also be right. People of the Lord, do you long for this? Oh, if it is right, then there is a longing for it. Do all God's children receive those blessings? They do not. You understand that if that high priest was young when that manslayer came there, then humanly speaking, then that manslayer, it was possible that he has died before that high priest has died. So that man has never in this life received his possessions back again. And yet, when there was a manslayer who had truly come to that city by faith, or when he has died, then he has died within that city, and then he has received his eternal possessions. Or then it is not the most important that we receive those highest steps of grace, but are they not so precious? Are they not something to be sought after? To be longed for? Because if the Son shall make you free, then you shall be free indeed. Oh, that this year, that it may not be unprofitable for our souls, that we may be led more and more by that Spirit of the Lord. Because we read that too. They that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, bless thy word. We have tried to bring it in our simplicity, but Lord, thou knowest all our hearts. Wilt thou forgive what was amiss in thy holy sight? And wilt thou bless this word that we have tried to bring in the weeks that have gone by? We begin a new year. Teach us who we are. Oh, teach us to flee. Show to us the suitability of that blessed city for a wretched and a miserable creature, that we may come to know thee and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Keep us this day from all danger and accident, evil and sin. And wilt thou grant what is necessary in the days to come? Bring us with desire on the first Sabbath of this year together. And wilt thou thyself bless thy word for Jesus' sake? Amen. 426 stanzas 4, 9, and 10. And afterwards we ask the congregation to please remain seated. The Lord preserves the meek most tenderly. Brought nigh to death, in him I found salvation. Come, thou my soul relieve from agitation. Turn to thy rest. the Lord has favored thee. 4, 9, and 10 of Psalter 426.
This year, it is a custom that we speak a few words on behalf of congregation, consistory, and since that falls upon my shoulders to do that, I will try to do that to the best of my ability. And then we are glad that we may begin the new year the way it is. We may see much recovery in the past few months, especially how it has been given you strength again to go on to the pulpit to bring for us twice a Sabbath day and other times God's Word. Much to be thankful for. And we hope that the Lord will give you strength more and more in this year, His nearness, and that also you may for yourself also receive what you long for, and that He may help you in all these things. But then we also know when we go through God's Word, and then I think especially of David, where he had received much of the Lord. He knew things in his life that were given him, but that there was also then moments that he did not see it anymore, that he could not continue. And then we see in 1 Samuel 23, verse 16, where it says then, "And he strengthened himself in the Lord." And that was now a strengthening. Yeah, now we look what was happening there to David. He was hunted as a partridge on the mountains. Why? Because of the Philistines? No. But it was because Saul was seeking his life. Saul was after him. Did he then ask the Lord for strength that he could run faster away from Saul? No. No, then he was strengthened in the Lord, and then he was brought back to his anointing, that he was anointed to that office. We see it in another place in 1 Samuel chapter 30, where he was sitting by the ruins of Ziklag. His wife's gone, children gone, everything gone for David. Even his own people were going to stone him. And then we may see there once again, and he encouraged himself in the Lord. Huh? That was now all. There was nothing in David, but the Lord was everything. And then we may also come to a little conclusion in that, where you now may be on the pulpit. You may now be our minister for more than 8 years. And I know that there sometimes are thoughts and difficulties also for yourself and things. But that you then may look back how the Lord has called you, how the Lord has prepared you, how the Lord has brought you in the denomination, but also in this congregation. That may then be your strength when things are not so easy, that you may, as David, now strengthen yourself in the Lord, and then it is the best place. Then it shall go well. Hope to come back. Also a word to Mrs. Den Hollander. A special place in the midst of the congregation. We also want to wish you the Lord's strength and blessing in all these things in this new year. I know you do not seek the spotlight, don't want to dwell on it too long, and it is true, you know, according to God's word, the man, husband in the family, that's true. But now, recently I read also something and it touched me. The woman is now the heart of the family. Huh? Special place. Hope you may receive also in this year what is necessary for in the family, but also for what is necessary for your husband and together in the congregation. Congregation, we may have a servant of the Lord upon our pulpit. Now, for the past 8 years, it was not always easy health-wise, but it may go good again. What do we do with this word now? Does it mean something to us? Is it still just as new as 8 years ago? Is it still so important? It is God's word. It is His house. May we now unitedly, as parents, as grandparents, be an example for our children and come under that word, that we do not grieve the Spirit, that we do not grieve our servant. It all waits upon the Lord's blessing, but we need to ask for it. And then just another small thought here, as we hope to sing in a few minutes, but I'd like to say a few words about that yet, where we see in Psalter 417, where we then see when it reads there in the first verse, on the third line, where neat thy wing, I'll be supplied. Where neat thy wing, I'll be supplied. And then when we may see that, that speaks now of everything. What does that wing now point to? Well, we may see in Psalm 91, the protection of the Lord, the guidance of the Lord, where his underneath his wings, where we will be supplied. What does that supplying now mean? That supplying now means for all our needs, for our daily needs, for all our needs. May that then be experienced by the students on the theological school. May it be experienced by the organists. May it be experienced the mothers in the homes, the fathers upon their work as consistory. In all these things, we are so dependent upon the Lord. But then especially, Reverend, we hope that you may experience that. That beneath thy wing, that is that the protection that you may experience, I'll be supplied. Then it shall be a supplying, so no man can give. But then that word shall go out as clear as the trumpet can bring it, right? Then it shall be death in Adam, life in Christ. And then in the end, God shall be glorified and our souls shall be saved. May that now be also this year. Not that we deserve anything of it. We send it all away. But still, in thy habitation, need thy wing, I will supply it. If that now be our prayer, our desire, then we may look back in the past and say, God is not a Lord that he cannot give it. May that now be also your experience in this year, that you may more and more receive strength in the body to continue to serve this congregation, hopefully for many, many years to come yet. I know you also desire to be able to go, and that is good, to other places a little bit. That is good. They also need it. We are privileged with your work in our midst. May it yet be shared in the denomination a little bit. But above all that, the Lord may give you strength and that supplying in all things necessary. Let us sing of Psalter 417. Send forth, O Lord, of my salvation, thy light and truth to be my guide. O let their rays in my privation lead me unto thy habitation. Where neath thy wing, I'll be supplied with grace. Thou wilt provide. We will do this standing and instead of the doxology. Thank you.
supply with grace thou wilt provide.
Thank you, Mr. Munch, for your kind words. We'd also like to thank you as a congregation for all of the support, and we may believe on your knees for us. We hope you may continue to do so as we continue to need it, and as was spoken, that we may be altogether supplied under those wings. Receive now the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.